What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, I got a good question for you that I was reading up on yesterday after our golf tournament, and I was wondering, like, what is the biggest sporting event in America?
The Super Bowl.
Maybe the most watched event, and that one day it may be the most intense event. I would say yes, but overall it's not the most profitable, and it's not the biggest sporting event in the U.S.
How?
Well, there's one that generates almost $560 million when they are participating in the sport for one city.
All right, we're not talking about the World Cup being here.
No, I'm talking about a reoccurring one-time-a-year event. Largest sporting event in America.
Largest? In as far as profitability for the city that it's in?
Profitability, the amount of money that's generated, the amount of interest. Now, it may not be mainstream for us, but there is a particular part of the sporting community that looks forward to it every year, and it generates about $560 million.
Yeah, UFC?
No. Nope.
The Kentucky Derby?
No.
The Masters?
Nope.
God, I am completely... Eddie?
It's the most attended, most profitable sporting event in our country.
I was told the answer by TV.
Oh, you know, that's not right, Stephen Waldron. It was Stephen Waldron.
Stephen's off. I gave it to him, Boomer. I'm sorry.
Andrew, is that you?
It is.
You're on probation.
My bad.
Okay.
And you knew this because you read the same thing Boomer did, Andrew?
No, I don't know it for sure, but I think I know what it is.
Well, like, you should know what it is because our network carried the thing for like 30 years.
The Daytona 500.
No, it's the U.S. Open Tennis, and it's not even close. And the fact is that the U.S. Open Tennis, like, this is fan week for U.S. Open Tennis. So before, in years past, there were no matches going on. And now they came up with this mixed doubles matches that start today and tomorrow. It's only 2 days. I think there's 16 teams, and there's $1 million purse for the winning team. And a lot of the top tennis players are playing in those matches just to generate even more money.
All right, but I'm totally confused. When you say the biggest sporting event in our country.
Yeah.
It's the criteria right now, is what again?
It is the most money. The most profitable and most attended because of the length of it.
Okay.
It goes from August 19th today to November 7th when the finals are of the singles finals.
I can understand the most attended. I can understand profitable for the
September
city.
September 7th.
But yeah. how can it be bigger than the Super Bowl though?
You know Fugazis.
I mean, you could say that it's the most profitable of the city and the most attended. Okay, fine. But the biggest sporting event in the country, it can't.
Fugazis.
It's not Fugazis. It generated $560 million last year.
And the Super Bowl generates what?
Yeah, not that much. And, you know, the Super Bowl is basically a week-long celebration. They have 2 weeks in between the championship games and the Super Bowl. I get that. But I'm just telling you right now, and what the USTA did was I think it's brilliant. And this is how you engage your players even further. And I talked to Patrick McEnroe about this. They have a mixed doubles event for today and tomorrow. And it's going to be a quick thing, but it's going to have $1 million purse to it. And it's going to bring tennis fans, you know, more tennis fans to New York, not just to celebrate Fan Week, but also to kick off the U.S. Open with matches. It's amazing.
So it says host city impact. This is AI overview here. Host city impact for the Super Bowl in Las Vegas in 2024. Estimated value $1 billion.
Estimated.
Last year.
Estimated.
Okay, but
who's that?
Are
who's
they off by $500 million, though?
I'm just telling you that the U.S. Open, year in and year out, has the most fans. It's the most profitable. There's over, I think there's a $90 million purse for the players this year, including these mixed doubles. And that, you know, I'm just.
Listen, it could be all of those things.
You should be proud of it. You're a New Yorker. It's right here.
I actually hate it. It drives me crazy.
Why does it drive you crazy?
Because all the traffic. That people are showing up and parking even when I'm driving home at 11 o'clock. I don't need, and then you go to, back in the day, going to Mets games when the U.S. Open was happening. It was impossible.
See, now that's the crux of this whole thing. Now you're going to try to just shoot me down.
I'm not trying to shoot you down. It's just that the way you are presenting it, I am disagreeing with. I'm not saying that those facts are wrong, but you can't tell me because of those things, it's the biggest sporting event in the country.
You always hit me with facts when you disagree with me.
Yeah, I know, but the facts here, I just gave you a fact, $1.25 billion of Louisiana economic impact for Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl. Whatever it was.
I mean, I'm just telling you, $558 million, it's the most people, and they even added matches now.
All right, the gambling revenue on the Super Bowl last year, Eddie, was
$1.5 billion.
Okay. Yeah, but I didn't ask you about the gambling. I'm sure they're gambling on tennis,
too. You just said it was the biggest sporting event in the country.
It is the most attended.
Okay, now
most
we're getting,
profitable.
Now we're getting there.
I said
can't most be
attended,
the most
profitable.
It can't
is.
Be the most profitable.
Fugazis.
Can't be the most profitable. Can't be. Nope. Cannot be. It could be the most attended because it takes a long,
most profitable.
No.
Yes. There's 15 days. It's a 15-day event.
I don't care. The Super Bowl's there for an entire week. You just saw the gambling revenue that's on it.
Yeah. There's gambling revenue on this, too.
Not even close to the same as the Super Bowl.
Did Andrew tell you anything else, Eddie?
He did not.
Yeah, okay.
The most profitable, I cannot believe. Most attended, and it does very well for tennis.
Are you
sure.
kidding me? Have you ever seen that tennis center over there?
Yeah, every day.
And everything
day
that
when
they do
up.
Over there, maybe the land acquisitions were not privately funded. They're owned by the city, but everything they do over there is privately funded. They don't ask for, at least not to my knowledge, when they're expanding Arthur Ashe Stadium and putting a dome on it. And, they have really figured it out how to, this thing's a cash cow.
I'm sure it is a cash cow, but it can't be the biggest sporting event in America. That's a bridge too far for your partner here.
Most attended, most profitable.
You said
most attended.
See,
most profitable tells me that's the biggest. Most attended, that tells me it's the biggest.
That's not. Yeah, exactly.
Eddie, shut up. Stop talking to him in his ear.
Moving the goalpost.
I'm not moving the goalpost.
Yes, you are.
I am not moving the goalpost.
It's not the biggest sporting event in America.
I'm telling you, it is.
Not. Can't stop it. You played in a Super Bowl, for God's sake.
Dude, 15 days.
Okay, the Super Bowl
week.
And
the cash is coming in straight for 15 days. Boom, 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 boom. It's something we should be proud of, but I know that it affects your driving.
Okay.
I understand that.
But you...
No, go out.
The biggest sporting event in America is not the U.S. Open tennis.
Go out to the Bell Parkway.
Boomer, you're wrong.
Oh, shut up.
I mean, those things that you're saying, I'm not disputing, but when you open up with what I'm disputing is when you open up and you ask me what the biggest sporting event in America is, you cannot deliver to me the U.S. Open.
I told you the Super Bowl, most watched. I'm not saying that it's not. And, they have it's 85,000 to 100,000 people attend. More people attend. It's more profitable, the U.S. Open.
I'm a football guy.
I'm a football guy, and I'm just.
How are we quantifying this more profitable thing?
I mean, is $560 million anything to sneeze at? And
is
now it's going to be even more because they added
billion?
This mixed doubles thing to it.
Mixed doubles. $1.25 billion for New Orleans.
And the mixed doubles, all the top players are playing with each other.
You heard what I said?
That is awesome.
$1.25 billion for New Orleans with the Super Bowl being there last year.
Yeah, where'd that money go?
I don't care where it went.
Where'd that money go for all
Where's the money going for the U.S. Open?
It goes back into expanding that tennis center over there.
Beautiful.
They spend a lot of money over there, private money.
All right, so.
Sponsorship money.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I can't.
I know that you can't wrap your head around it, but these financial things I really do enjoy. Like yesterday.
It's stupid.
Shut up. Yesterday, our boy Evan puts out a whiny X post. I hate whiny X posts.
Yeah, I mean passive aggressive whiny X posts like CeeLo or just whiny X posts.
Well, this one he's whining about because it's the largest increase in season ticket money that he has seen from the Mets. I guess he got some sort of contact from the Mets talking about his season ticket costs for next year.
Okay.
And he was complaining about how this is the biggest cost increase, I guess, since he's had the tickets.
Okay.
Do you see it?
I see it. He's not complaining. He just stated a fact. He goes, just got the biggest Mets season ticket price increase I think I've ever had.
Yeah, that's a complaint.
Is it?
It's not.
It's a fact. He just said
it's
the
a fact.
Largest increase. Like, I could be like, wow, that's the most expensive hamburger I've ever had in my life. It doesn't mean that, like, I was complaining about it. It was just a fact, right? He didn't say, I can't believe this. This sucks. He said, I just got the biggest Mets season ticket price increase I think I've ever had.
Yeah, like he's complaining about it.
Is that a complaint?
Could be.
Yes.
But
I took it as a complaint. Like, oh, look at me. I got to spend even more money now to go see my beloved Mets.
Subject to interpretation.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a tweet.
I've been in his shoes where my team that they passionately root for is the New York Rangers sent me that letter where they were saying that, you know, we're giving up on the season, we're trading our captain, and you're going to get to watch.
I love our callers.
I do too.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know what I was talking about, but anyway, I was complaining. Yeah. I did complain because I didn't want to watch junior league hockey, you know, or minor league hockey.
Right.
I paid for major league hockey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you're
trading away all the guys that I really liked and admired. And I understood why they did it, but I got annoyed at it. So I can understand why he's annoyed at it. I'm not saying that I have not been annoyed like him. I just didn't go to X to do it. I just did it. I said it here in the microphone.
Right. All right. Chris in Lakewood, New Jersey. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning? Boomer, did somebody from the U.S. Open pay you to have this conversation? Because you've said mixed doubles like 30 times this morning.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'm just trying to hammer home a point. That's all.
Wow.
Because they started mixed doubles.
You did say mixed doubles a couple times. Just a few. Just a few.
Chris.
John in Sayville. What's going on, John?
Hey, so I can kind of clear up this debate that you're having.
Okay.
So I used to work for the USTA and work for a bunch of different sports organizations. It's the largest annually attended event in the world. So the only events that pass it are years that there's a World Cup or Olympics. You know, so this year should be like 1.1 million in the 15 days.
Ooh.
Now, boom, what you're forgetting is you're not counting the international revenue. It's the largest, you know, again, in respect to the World Cup, but it's the largest televised sporting event in the world because of what it does overseas. It's minuscule what it does in TV revenue in the U.S. compared to Europe.
Oh, okay.
All right, but hold on.
Thank you for hammering home my point.
Well, hold on. But when would you, with all the things that you know and your experience, if someone asked you what is the biggest sporting event in America, would you say the U.S. Open in tennis?
Yes, with respect to the fact of the impact it has around the world.
But it just said in America. The answer is,
but it's in America.
Is this the biggest, but I mean...
America first, baby!
I don't know. I cannot say that the U.S. Open is the biggest sporting event in
over
America.
Over a million spectators shown around the world.
But you said in America, the Super Bowl shown around the world, too. Is it not?
Yeah, I'm just telling you the facts. That's all. Just the facts, man.
And it doesn't do any TV
and by
revenue.
The way, just so you know,
yeah,
mixed doubles.
When does that start tonight? Mo in Brooklyn, what's going on, Mo?
Hey guys, so I think the the thing that skews the number is that it's in New York City all the time. If you had the Super Bowl, if you took the U.S. Tennis Open and had it in Arizona, you would never hit those kind of numbers in terms of affecting the city. So the thing that's skewing it is that it's in New York, and the numbers are always bigger in New York.
So you're with me then, Mo.
I'm with you from the perspective of what? That. Yeah, the number is higher, but it's the fact that it's in New York. That's why it skews higher.
It's still higher. It's still higher. I mean, like, why does everybody have like a caveat? Why can't they just say, "Yeah, I agree with you"?
Because I mean,
I think it is supremely stupid.
That is the most boomer statement ever. Why can't you just shut up and agree with me? Al, where are you on this? I'm very curious your opinion on this.
I don't agree. I believe it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because I was thinking if you had...
Al's the arbiter?
Yeah. Things like this, yes, yeah. Actually.
I did ask Grok, and Grok says that Boomer is incorrect.
There you go.
Grok,
Boomer, you're wrong.
That the Super Bowl generates billions in economic activity and ad revenue alone. The U.S. Open, while lucrative, doesn't match this scale.
While lucrative.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not as wrong.
Oh, so AI is the now... is
yes, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you use it all the time.
Right.
Talk right into your phone.
You know, the interesting thing is that I was talking about Evans and his tickets. Took that phone call about mixed doubles. So what I was saying about the ticket thing with the Mets, I mean, the Mets have spent at least $1.4 billion on their roster over the last 4 years alone.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't count the rest of the organization, the pitching lab, and all that other crap.
Sure, yeah.
And the management of the building and all the stuff that goes into running an organization. That's why your tickets are going up, because your owner is spending money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not my tickets, but his tickets.
Yeah. But the point being is that, you know, this is the owner you wanted. This is what you wanted from probably 20 years ago. A new owner coming in and spending money. And then what happens when they spend money? You spend money.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So I don't know. He can.
Domino effect spot.
It is a domino effect.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We got Jerry Recco back here. He's got another update for us. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, we are sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB, Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. We got both the Mets and the Yankees back in action tonight. Aaron Boone with BT and Sal today at 11 o'clock.
Ah, Boone.
On the Fan, yeah, so that's kind of cool.
How many boonies, over under on boonies?
From which one, both or just from BT?
Both.
9.
Wow.
Because I think a lot of questions will start with it.
I'm going to set the line at 6.5.
Well, that's interesting.
I'm setting the line, the Boonie line in the BT and Sal interview at 6.5.
Did you hear the line that Al said for the Buffalo Bills win total this year?
I did. What was like 8 or something?
9.5.
9.5.
And he's taking the under.
He doesn't like the Bills this year. Did you watch Hard Knocks? Is that why?
No, I just feel like the McDermott theme seems like it's over. Josh Allen married an actress. I don't know. But then Jerry went through their schedule. They're playing some bad teams.
It's the opposite of the Giants, at least starting the season.
They got the whole AFC East, of course. And then they have like the Saints, the Panthers.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Oh, so you got the NFC South crossover, like the Jets. Atlanta. Just like the Jets. Jets have that same schedule.
Yeah, but they're the Jets. A little different.
That's true.
So, yeah.
That's true.
Something over under. Anyway, the Mets are in Washington tonight. David Peterson facing Jake Irvin. Mets lead the Reds by a game for the third wild card spot in the National League. 5.5 games behind the Phillies. This was the clip you were talking about last hour, Boomer, from Rob Thompson talking about Zach Wheeler, who had surgery to remove a blood clot in his upper right. This was pregame when asked, you know, about Wheeler's return, when he could come back and what the rotation will look like.
A lot of people ask me about the pitching staff and the team, and right now my thoughts are just about him. You know, I said the other day, this isn't like a hamstring or a calf. This is real. This is life. And so my thoughts are constantly on him and his family.
And so no timetable for his return. In the game last night, the Phils did beat the Mariners 12-7 during the course of the game. A deep-thinking John Kruk just asking Tom McCarthy.
So I was wondering.
Yep.
The person who invented the clock.
Yeah, which one, the digital or the hand?
The first clock ever.
Yeah.
How did that person know what time it was?
I mean, the sun.
That's,
I mean, come on.
What was Tom McCarthy saying?
Yeah, I mean, he's their version of Keith Hernandez.
I suppose so, yes.
Just a little less sophisticated.
Fair enough. So they were doing one, I'll try and find it for you for next hour. I did see... You know how the broadcasts will reveal like a new dish, or you can buy it at the snack stand.
Right, yeah. It's like a lard in a helmet.
Something like that.
Whipped cream on it.
So they had a chicken cutlet salad and making it a sandwich. And their sideline reporter was eating it without the chicken cutlet. And McCarthy, I'm sorry, Kruk goes, if I ever become a vegan, punch me in the face often. It's funny.
Sounds like something most athletes would say.
Probably so, yes. Anyway, so they wound up winning 12-7 last night. We mentioned Boone. You got the Yankees and Rays tonight at Steinbrenner Field. Carlos Rodon, the start there. Pirates beat the Blue Jays 5-2 in this game. Vlad Guerrero Jr. left with hamstring soreness or tightness from stretching. For a throw, these athletes. Also, you had this happen.
And he walks. Pham. He's come in. He's uncorked a wild pitch. He's walked to. And now, Pham has been saying something to Heinemann. And now the bench is empty.
It started on a pitch before that. Did you notice that Heinemann,
No, whatever. So he thought a ball should have been called a strike. Pham had something to say. He then walks. He flips the bat. Heinemann says something to him. Now, this is, I'm pretty sure, an old clip, but I love this guy. This was Pham, who talks about, hey, if I get into a scuffle.
I'll never start anything, but I'll be prepared to finish it. There's a reason why, you know, I do all kinds of fighting in the offseason, because I'm prepared to fuck somebody up. So you can take it as what it is.
I think he was with the Padres when he said that. I don't remember, but that clip has resurfaced because of this last night.
Well, yeah, he also slapped a guy, too, in the outfield back in the day over a fantasy football bet. Remember that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember that, yes.
I forget who he slapped, but he slapped somebody for not paying their debt.
It was one of his teammates, right?
He was on the other team, or maybe it was his teammate. But, yeah, that was a whole thing.
Jock Peterson.
Oh, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a wow. You're taking Tommy Pham 100 times out of 100 against Jock Peterson.
So he was with the Reds and Peterson was with the Giants.
Do you have Pham's number? Hasn't he played for like 10 teams? He was with the Mets,
the Rays.
Josh Johnson of the NFL.
Yeah, just everywhere. Play for a lot of teams. Anyway, the Yankees, Red Sox, Mariners all tied for the three wild card spots in the American League. There's your baseball story. All right, football-wise, you did have preseason week number 2 concluded last night. The Bengals did win. They beat the Commanders 31-17. Joe Burrow played into the second quarter. Not much from Jaden Daniels. He played one series, but it was a good one.
Second and 9 at the Bengals 14. Jaden's got a empty backfield. He's standing around the 19-yard line. 3 wide receivers to the left, 2 to the right. Both of them on the right inside the numbers. They pick up a late blitzer, Logan Wilson. Hit up Daniels with his feet to the 10, 5, gets away from another. Bounces off the Bengal into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
So pretty exciting there for a preseason game, though they did lose the game. Commanders radio with a call, yes.
Let me just ask you something. This is a preseason game, I understand, right? This is not practice. You're not playing your own team.
Yes.
The quarterback doesn't have a red
correct
penny on. Can you explain to me this horrendous tackling effort by that number 27 there.
That's going to be a problem for the Bengals all year long, I mean, I'm telling you.
That is as pathetic of an effort to try to tackle that I think I've ever seen.
I think he's trying to go for the ball.
I know one thing. If Jaden Daniels is running in the secondary of the Giants, it's going to be a little bit different.
I mean, I would hope so.
You better hope so. And by the way, NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can count on much of these that you can't count on much of these days, but you always can count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. There you go.
Now, you mentioned 27 and the terrible tackle. People are wondering, like, you know, what are you doing? It's a preseason game. Why are you running into players? Why not slide? Here was Daniel's answer to that.
I'm playing football. I'm out there. I know everybody puts a big emphasis on preseason, but at the end of the day, it's a game to me. Whether it's preseason, regular season, or playoffs. So, have the opportunity to score. Other people probably didn't like it, but, hey, it is what it is.
That's it.
But I think these players need to play. You know, Joe Burrow played again last night.
Yep. So now
that's good.
He did, and he's played a lot in the first couple of games.
He needs to because they got to get off to a good start. As opposed, I think he's 1-9 in the opening couple weeks.
That's not good. Here he was. Will he play in the final preseason game?
Whatever Zach decides, I'm happy to go out there and play as well. Some good learning experiences in the couple drives that we've had.
And last night he was 9 of 14 for 62 yards with a touchdown pass.
Did you call a Sam Weiss Sam in interviews back in the day? Whatever Sam decides?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
Doesn't it seem, though, I could be wrong about this, I feel like growing up.
Booney or Sammy or any of that.
Coaches were older, though, back then.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the coaches are more closer to the players' ages now than ever. Right? Sam Weiss was much older. I mean, Landry, Lombardi, they were older guys.
What does Mahomes call Andy Reid?
Coach Reid?
I don't know. Does he call him Andy? I don't know.
I don't think he calls him Andy.
I feel he calls him Coach Reid.
Yeah.
What did Tom Brady call Bill Belichick? Coach or Bill?
I don't remember.
I think Bill. I think he just called him Bill.
I don't know. That's why, I mean, it stood out to me when he said Zach.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that Tom Brady did not call. I don't know.
I have to go back. Sam. So.
Okay.
Bruce.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
Rich. Rich schmuck.
No, don't go there.
Dick. Right, Richard? The Giants play the Patriots Thursday night. Jermaine Illuminor spoke to the media yesterday. You guys opened the show a lot on Jackson Dart. Here was Illuminor, and what are you seeing so far?
He's a really good player. I think he's going to be really good for this team. And just the progress he's made throughout the offseason and from OTAs to mini camp to training camp. You can see the progression. You can also see the way he's catching up with the speed of the game.
And it seems like this kid's going to be a player.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So far, so good. The Jerry Jones documentary is now available. It's out there, so I'm
great.
Sure.
Just what I want to see. More Cowboys stuff.
Or not. I just, okay. Close your ears for 1 second, sir. The Browns named Joe Flacco their week one starter. Last hour you said you don't care. But I did think it's interesting that he's 40 years old and
here
he is.
Well, that's why they signed him. They have very little experience on the roster. I mean, Kenny Pickett's there, but he's hurt.
Yep.
I don't know how long he's going to last. But the last time he was there, he played well for them.
He was good.
And they didn't want to bring him back because they didn't want to insult Deshaun Watson. So he went to Indianapolis.
Did you hear what Dylan Gabriel said after their preseason game where he's kind of like...
Yeah, but he was not taking a shot at Shedeur Sanders, according to, what's her name, Mary Kay Cabot?
Yeah, okay. I mean, did you hear what he said, though?
I heard it.
I mean, exactly. It sounded like he was taking a shot at him.
Again, that's your interpretation, not mine, after it was cleared up. I thought the same thing when I first heard it. Okay. But then she came back, and she's been covering the Browns forever. And she said, let me just clear something up, that Dylan Gabriel was not taking a shot at Shedeur Sanders. But you know what it did sound like? It sounded like his former coach. Wasn't this Coach Dan Lanning?
Yes, that's
who
why.
Took a shot at Colorado when
exactly.
They were playing Colorado.
That's yes. Why. That's where that came from. It's yeah. The same thing. So I'm sure they're trying to protect the kid and whatever, made a mistake. But, I mean, that's where that came from. Is the coach trash Colorado when Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders
different
says the same thing?
Were about wins.
Yeah, and then Dylan Gabriel said there's entertainers and there's competitors. And I'm a competitor. When he was asked about Shedeur Sanders.
No, he was asked about his performance on the field because he actually played really well. Wasn't asked about Shedeur.
No, I think he was asked about the attention around Shedeur Sanders.
He was asked about his performance as he was doing an interview during the game.
I don't think so.
I saw the interview.
No, here it is. It was asked about tuning out the noise surrounding the quarterback competition, which is the noise isn't Joe Flacco. There's no noise coming out of him. It's all about Shedeur Sanders. That was the question. How are you tuning out the noise surrounding the Browns quarterback competition? Yeah, it's just part of it. You know, there's entertainers and there's competitors, and I totally understand that. And my job is to compete, and that's what I'm focused on doing.
Boomer, Radio. You're wrong.
Is Joe Flacco the entertainer? I don't think so.
He's a bore.
Is Kenny Pickett the entertainer? I don't think so. So I don't care what anybody says. He was digging at his at Shedeur.
Yeah, but then she came back.
I don't care.
Oh, man. I'll give you one more. This is Sean McVay on Matthew Stafford, back at practice, back from the back injury. Not going to rush his work, though.
I think we're just taking it a day at a time, you know, and I mean that too, because you know what I'm not going to do is sit here and go back and forth every single day. I don't think that's fair to anybody involved. That's not, you know, it's not accurate with what's going on with the situation either. And so we're trying to, you know, get our hands on it. We're trying to do right by, you know, the player number one and our team. And so, you know, it was good to be able to have him out there today.
Player number one. Mm. So there you have it.
Can I ask you guys a question? What's the biggest sporting event in America? You're not going to believe it.
I suppose not. Oh, man. And lastly, at the U.S. Open this morning, Andrea Vassarasi and Sarah Arani take on Elena Rybakina and Taylor Fritz.
Yeah, we already knew this.
In the mixed doubles this morning.
The biggest
a good one, though, is Naomi Osaka and Gael Monfils taking on Catherine McNally and Lorenzo Musetti.
Oh.
So 11 a.m. if you would like to get there for the start of the mixed doubles.
Mixed doubles.
Venus Williams is playing.
Yes.
Venus Williams and Riley Opelka taking on Carolina Makova and Audrey Bublik.
electric.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be
a lot of big Madison Keys and Francis Tiafoe.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So the players bought into this mixed doubles
Jessica
concept.
Jessica Pegula is playing
yes,
today.
She is.
It's pretty good.
And it's kicking off fan week because the individual stuff and the double stuff doesn't start until, the weekend.
How about this one? Olga Dalkovich and Novak Djokovic against Mira Andreeva and Daniil Medvedev.
Okay.
That's a tough one. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a busy day.
But for the tennis fans in this area and around the world,
yeah,
this is a big deal. That's all I'm telling you. You can make fun of it all you want.
Years ago. I think it's great, actually. I'm good.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen it yet, and I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Because if you live around here and you are a sports fan, you know that the mixed doubles are today. That's one thing that's coming. We know that. But here's another thing that is definitely coming, and this is more for the football sports fan out there, and that is a nickname for Jackson Dart. Oh, I haven't seen one yet.
Oh, no.
It's coming, because
you
know
just ruined
the whole
Al's morning.
Danny Dimes thing and all that other crap.
You just
you know
ruined
it's coming.
Al's
I
morning.
I mean the Black Knight, who did, by the way, have a blood clot.
Full circle spot. Yeah.
I mean, we have nicknames, right? I mean, like, when is this one coming?
Well, so as you were saying that.
Yes.
And I'm looking at Al, knowing that the phone, just shut the, you can hit that X button so nobody can call, right? You should probably do that for the next 10 minutes or so. I remember, I'll never forget when Mike did a week of shows trying to get a name of the David Tyree catch. Remember that? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
all right, next up, Ted in Astoria, Ted. Hey, Mike, how about Miracle 42?
All right. You know, it's not catchy. I mean, it explains what happens, 42 Miracle, but it doesn't rhyme. You kind of need a rhyme in there. It doesn't pop for me. Mary in Oceanside.
Hey, Mike. How about Super Tyree?
You know, simple. Not bad. It's not bad, but you got to have Eli in there, too, right? If you can't just name the one guy, you know? So, anyway.
Okay.
So, here we go. Couple that he's been called in the past.
Yeah, but I've you know how the writers around here like to see if Serbies like to come up with something that's
catchy. I understand.
Catchy. Danny Dimes is kind of crap, you know?
Right, but I'm just saying some of the things he's been called in the past.
Okay.
The Dark Knight.
Uh-oh.
Dartboard Material, which is a horrendous nickname.
Dartboard Material.
Yeah. Okay. Dart Vader. Jackson 6 and the Dart Side.
I mean, we're going to see a lot of plays on the dart aspect of
Action
this.
Jackson.
Action. With an X.
Yeah.
Action with an X.
Yeah, Action Jackson.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not doing this, man. That's it. I gave you one. I gave you Action Jackson.
But you know it's coming.
Oh.
You know, but I guess he's going to have to get on the field in real games. And then lead the team to wins to be able to be have a nickname bestowed upon him.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson never got a nickname, right?
They weren't winning. Zach Attack?
No. But, I mean, there was Broadway Sam for a little bit with Sam Darnold. They called him Broadway Sam.
There was the Sanchez.
The Sanchez, yeah.
Yeah.
Eli really never had. I mean, Eli, you don't, when your last name is Manning, you don't have a nickname. You're just a Manning, you know?
Yeah.
Just Eli. Go by your first name, whatever. Yeah, I mean, they're really, I mean,
the Mets, like, the Mets pitchers always had nicknames.
Yeah. Thor, the Dark Knight. DeGrom didn't have a nickname, did he? No.
The Grominator.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I suppose. But yeah, I mean, if
Jackson Dart really starts lighting it up, then, you know, there's a nickname coming somewhere.
You would think so. I mean, but then I'm thinking, like, did Jaden Daniels get a nickname last year?
Yeah, but he's not in New York. I mean, like, this is something I think it's like we do, or the media does it. I don't think the fans do it. I think the media does it.
But he also does have a name that's very nicknameable.
Yeah, but, like, it's the Danny Dimes factor.
Oh, Danny Dimes. That was terrible. You hated that.
Oh, I hate
There's
it.
Actually a drop somewhere where you said the Danny Dimes douchebaggery or something. I actually think there is. You hated that nickname.
I did.
Absolutely.
Danny Dimes douchery.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go.
Yeah. And you weren't talking about Daniel Jones douchery. You were talking about the people calling Danny Dimes.
Yeah.
You hated
that. That whole thing. Yeah. Daniel Jones. Oofa. Oofa.
Yeah. Danny Jones. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen with him in Indianapolis?
I think he's going to be the starter week one. That's what I think.
But I mean, think he's going to play well?
They have a decent team. It's probably one of the more under-the-radar teams. I mean, they're not in the toughest division. I didn't look at their schedule. But, I mean, they have a shot. I mean, Houston, you know, is coming off of a little bit of a down year. You got to believe that Jacksonville with Liam Cohen. Duval is going to be better.
Yeah, I'm rooting against them.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because I think I don't want him to do well.
Who? Liam Cohen?
Yeah.
Why don't you want him to do well?
I don't know. There's something about him. I want him to fail. I think it's the shape of his head.
I mean, did he not help one of your favorite players in the league?
Who?
Baker Mayfield.
He's not one of my favorite players.
I always thought you liked Baker Mayfield.
I mean, I have nothing against him, but I don't. He's not one of my favorite players.
I thought you loved the way he played.
He's not one of my favorite players.
Okay,
in the league.
I'm sorry. I misread that then.
No. Not even close.
Man, pushback morning, man.
No, I'm just telling you the truth. I don't know. I just don't want. He just seems like that guy that should have never gotten that job and that contract, and it seemed desperate, and I don't know. And then the two.
Oh, you mean Liam Cohen?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
him.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of that thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean.
And he's got saying Travis Hunter's going to win the offensive and defensive rookie of the year this year. Like, shut up. You know, like, just zip your mouth.
Right.
You?
Jacksonville has been the only time that they really have been significant is around draft time.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, Trevor Lawrence is now on his third coach.
Yeah.
And it worked out well for him.
I don't dislike Trevor Lawrence, but I don't know. There's something about this Liam Cohen. I just. Gives me
His head?
Gives you the heebie-jeebies. Well, it's just the way that his head moved when he said Duval. I mean, Chris McMonagle said it the best. He looked like he was part of Pirates of the Caribbean, like the animatronic people that are when you're going through the Disney rides and they like move in a certain way that don't look like humans.
He gave you one of these.
He
put his chin down and he raised one of his shoulders up.
It's a small world after all. You know, like one of those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why you're rooting against
him. Yes. It doesn't make any sense, but that's where I'm at right now.
You know, I don't root for anybody to fail, but eventually, you know, three quarters of the league is failing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if not more. You really think about it, relative to expectations.
True.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.